Big Friday show, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete on AM570 LA Sports. Dodgers, this is it. Three-game series in San Francisco tonight. This Cub game against St. Louis does impact the Dodgers. Hopefully, they won't have to worry about the wild card. But if you're just joining us, Chicago leading St. Louis 2-0 in the third inning. Later in the program, we will talk about the Dodgers and break down all that surrounds it. Our top story, the Rams last night showing the nation as a fan base and showing the NFL, Rodney, that they are the real deal, an electric atmosphere, as you mentioned, at the Coliseum. The Rams, an offensive juggernaut, none better right now in the NFL, and they certainly laid claim to being the best team in the league.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they were leaning towards that, and you know, over the first 3 weeks, you could hear a lot of people talking about the Rams are in the top three teams in the league, are the Rams, blah, 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 you know, maybe Philadelphia, but I don't think there's really any question right now, especially after last night, and regardless of record, that's a good Minnesota Viking football team. They'll be there at the end of the day. They'll be in the playoffs. They'll make their way there. That is a good football team. But the Rams are, like you said, a juggernaut. And, you know, even with the injuries, they were able to withstand some of the threats by Minnesota last night because they're such a complete team, offensively, defensively, special teams. They don't have a weakness. And, you know, I can't even say enough about Jared Goff because, as you mentioned before in the tease, that he was about to be run out of town, and then along comes Sean McVay, and he becomes the guy that everybody thought he was when he was the number one pick in the draft. And he is making every single throw. Not only is he making it, Fred, he's making it look easy.
And that leads really to, if you just look at the league this year and Jared Goff, and what a remarkable story. Sean McVay has to have some of this credit because I don't know if he would be this effective without Sean McVay. We know how he was in the old system.
Yeah.
But with this offense and him as the trigger man, things are firing on all cylinders. And if you look at NFL quarterbacks today, and let's just run down the great ones, Rodney, a Tom Brady, an Aaron Rodgers, even Phillip Rivers, who, by the way, some scouts are saying is having a phenomenal year.
Oh, he is.
Just in his preparation, the way he's seeing the field. They think he's projecting higher than Brady this year. But I've got to wonder, if you look at Goff, would you take him now over almost anybody in the league?
After four weeks in the NFL this season, to me, he is playing the best. And yeah, I would take him over anybody right now. Just in the way he doesn't get flustered, Fred. And I didn't see this coming because, as you said, as a rookie, He looked like a deer in the headlights, and that's something that you notice from someone. And you go, can he overcome that? Is that who he is? But you throw in a Sean McVay, somebody that believes in him, an offensive minded coach, an innovative coach, say you're our guy. That changes people and allows you to be free. And we're seeing the talent in Jared Goff. And what I love about him is that he's not a big-time glamour guy. Even though being in L.A., he could very well be the toast of the town and be out there everywhere. He's not. He's very grounded. And no matter what, even in the Charger game a week ago, when they would make a threat, he came back and the Rams answered the bell. Same thing with Minnesota last night. The game got close a couple times, and the Rams answered the bell. And it was on his shoulders, and he made some big throws to score some points for the Rams. So, yeah, I would take him absolutely right now.
And his accuracy is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I was hearing Eric Dickerson talk earlier, and he was talking about the fact that he kind of feathers the ball in. You can explain that better than anybody as a quarterback.
Well, you gotta have, you know, when somebody says he's got all the throws, he can make all the throws. Well, all the throws are not just, you know, throwing it 100 miles an hour on the sideline or throwing an 80-yard touchdown and everybody's wowed about Patrick Mahomes and his arm strength. Jared Goff can do all those things, but when it calls for touch, when it calls for throwing the ball over a linebacker's head and before a safety gets there, he can do that as well. When it calls for throwing it over on the run and throwing it over two defenders' head and laying it in for Cooper Kupp in the corner of the end zone, he can do that. When it calls for drilling it in to a Todd Gurley streaking down, you know, the field behind a linebacker, he can do that. So he can make all the throws, whether it be in the pocket or on the run. And I don't see a flaw in his game right now. And the best part is, I think, his mental preparation because he gets rid of the ball but yet he has seen the field. He rarely takes sacks. I mean, he's just playing at such a high level right now, and hopefully, and he has been for the last couple of years. So hopefully he can keep this up.
Well, and if you do give credit, and you should, and you need to Sean McVay, it always begs the question, and this is, I don't know, a debate, perhaps an argument, is he a system quarterback or is he simply that good? So to try to answer that, let's take Jared Goff off the Rams right now, and we're going to have a new quarterback. Tom Brady is now the Rams quarterback.
Yeah.
In this offense, would he be as good as Jared Goff?
Yep.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, would he be as good as Jared Goff?
Yep.
Phillip Rivers, would he be as good as Jared Goff?
I don't know. Some of the things that the Rams do are a lot of movement stuff, so I don't think he would be the same.
Matt Ryan, would he be as good as Jared Goff?
Yeah, I think I like Matt Ryan. He would have success in this. I mean, you think about Matt Ryan when he had, you know, Shanahan in Atlanta. That was his best year, and he had an MVP season. So it does matter. But the whole notion of a system quarterback, everybody's in a system. And it takes players to really make that system thrive. So Joe Montana's in a system. It's the same system. You know, Troy Aikman was in a system with Norv Turner. We're seeing Norv Turner now in Carolina with Cam Newton, and Cam Newton is having success with that system. So there's only a handful of systems out there. So technically everybody's part of a system. But it's a matter of who's playing quarterback in that system that makes it go.
So if you could pick a guy right now to be your quarterback, all right, I said I would even take Goff right now over Tom Brady. Am I insane?
No, you're not insane. I think at this juncture, Brady being 40 years old.
Right,
yeah,
you got to factor
in. You factor that in, and you factor, you know, just what the Rams are doing and how they're doing it movement-wise. I would take Jared Goff, the younger player. Obviously, he moves better. Absolutely take him over Tom Brady right now.
And really, the way he's playing, and there was a lot of question about should you take Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, and aside from the fact that Wentz got hurt, and also let's acknowledge he's a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
I think I'd still take Goff.
That's a toss-up. Because both of them are really good. Wentz is a better athlete in terms of his movement, running around with the football, making plays with his legs more so than Goff. But that's, to me, yeah, that's a toss-up with those two young guys.
All right, so you've got those two. Now let's throw Patrick Mahomes in.
Yeah, another one. Another one that I think that the reason they were comfortable getting rid of Alex Smith because they knew what they had in Patrick Mahomes.
No one else did. No one else believed in that. They thought they were insane getting rid of Alex Smith.
Well, the Chiefs did. The people that saw him play, the people that watched him in practice all day long knew what they had. Otherwise, they went. Same thing with Jared Goff. People were like, oh, why are you taking him number one? Why'd you move up to take him? And he's proven them right that's why they did, because he's playing the way he's playing. But, yeah, Mahomes is another one I think is a very, very talented quarterback.
So when you look at the Rams offense, obviously it is that juggernaut. But last night, big play by Aaron Donald, big play by Sue late in the game, and Minnesota basically, Rodney, knew that the Rams had some trouble at corner. Marcus Peters was bobbled, Tlaib is out, so they threw the ball all over the field. But when push came to shove and the defense needed to make plays, they made plays.
They did. And you know, I've said this and we've talked about it on the show. This is last night was the reason why you pay Aaron Donald. Last night. You pay the best player in football, the best defensive player in football. Because when the game was on the line and the Vikings had the ball and they were driving, it was Aaron Donald who got the sack, a big sack that made it 3rd and 18. He was wreaking havoc in the fourth quarter, putting pressure on Kirk Cousins. So, you know, we can talk about the offense, and the offense was great and all that, but Sue and Donald in the fourth quarter, when guys got to block them the whole game, and it comes down to the fourth quarter and they get one-on-one matchups, it's all over. It's right. I never understood this, and we talked about it, why the Raiders got rid of Khalil Mack, because those kind of guys come around once in a generation, and they are game changers. They are guys that late in the game, when you need a sack, and you need the game to be secured, those are the type of guys that can do it on defense.
And to your point, Aaron Donald, I mean, he grabbed Cousins and just chucked him to the ground, and I mean, that was an enormous sack. They might not strike till late in the game. You might not see that impact till late in the game. You might not see it in the first quarter or the second quarter. But you're saying you need that guy for late in the game. You need that guy for that moment.
Absolutely. We hear it all the time. The offense, they're big and strong offensive linemen. They're going to wear you down, and in the fourth quarter, you're going to get tired. Well, it same goes for the defensive guys. You know, with Sue and Donald on that defensive end, battling those offensive linemen for three quarters, you get into the fourth quarter. When they get a matchup and those guys get tired, their motor just turns up. And try to block those guys one-on-one without double-teaming them, good luck. It's not going to happen. So, absolutely. That's why, again, you pay those guys, because when you need it, yes, offense is there. Jared Goff is there. You know, Gurley's there to drive you 80 yards at the end of the game to score. But when your team is on defense and you need to stop Minnesota from scoring, you need guys like that to make it happen, and those guys are difference makers.
Good crowd last night. Don't know if you were there. Vinny's going to check in with us next, and we'll figure out what the atmosphere was really like. I mean, the Ram fans call themselves the Ramily, and the Ramily is going to have quite a weekend with a victory like that. Jason, what's coming up at 12:30?
Jared Goff had an interesting exchange with a user on Instagram, Ted the Trash Man, or did he?
That's coming up at 12:30. Don't go anywhere, because very soon we're going to try to put a grand in your hand. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports.
I will never do that, Gary and Shannon. Love you too. Hey, welcome back. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney, AM 570 LA Sports. And you know what time it is, Fred?
What time is it?
It's time to put a grand in your hand.
Now is the time.
Oh, my God.
Grab your phone, win $1,000. Text the keyword bills to 200-200. That's bills to 200-200. Ding. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard message and data rates apply.
Good luck.
And by the way, if you get a phone call after you've texted and answered the phone, that's the only way you can win. So if you get a call from a block number or unknown number, answer the telephone. We want to put a grand in your hand. We want you to win $1,000. This guy's worth more than $1,000. He was at the Coliseum last night. It is our friend, our Rams insider, Vinny Bonsignor. Vinny, how are you today?
I'm doing good, and that was quite the show last night by the Rams. Also the Vikings, the Rams and the Vikings. That was a lot of talent on that field, a lot of great quarterback play. But the Rams certainly put on a show for a national TV audience. It was quite the spectacle. I was happy to be there.
Yeah, so walk us through it, Vinny, for those that weren't there last night. It was electric. It looked that way. By the way, I was not there. My wife was getting an award for Habitat for Humanity, but I was watching it on my phone, and I kept getting yelled at because I wasn't paying attention to her when she was giving her speech. But it was, I couldn't take my eyes off it. What was it like inside the Coliseum?
Yeah, it really was mesmerizing. I mean, it was honestly, you got caught up in it. I think everyone did, everyone that was there. If you're the NFL, this is what you envisioned when you decided that, hey, we need to put a team back in Los Angeles. You had a full stadium, an atmosphere that was off the charts. You had stars in the stadium, in the crowd. You had stars on the field. You had a great game. It's everything that you wanted this to be and what you envision this to be back in Los Angeles. And they're going to get a lot more of that when you're talking about Jared Goff and Sean McVay and the talent that they have on this offense and the timely play that they're getting on their defense. It's everything that the NFL wanted. You couldn't ask for anything more.
We were talking about Jared Goff, and I made the comment right now, I think I take him over almost any quarterback in the league. And that's remarkable given that 2 years ago we wanted to run the guy out of town.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And, you know, there was a report or just a story a couple of weeks ago suggesting that, yeah, Jared Goff is good, but he's more the product of Sean McVay's system.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, exactly. And the Rams ought to think about trading him before they have to pay him and then get a couple first-round picks and use that to find your next quarterback. And I got to tell you, there was eyes rolling and laughter from the Rams on that whole suggestion, because they felt like he was a special quarterback. That's why they traded up to go get him in 2016. This is what they envisioned. This is what they saw and felt he was capable of doing. And I'm with you. And there's nobody that they would trade him for right now. And I'm just saying that there's no quarterback in the NFL that they would trade him for at this point. And they think it's going to get even better for him. And he was spectacular last night. He had a perfect quarterback rating. That hasn't happened in years in the NFL. And Jared Goff did it.
Yeah, you know, I hate that system thing. We talked about it a little bit, man. You know, Joe Montana played in the Bill Walsh system. I mean, what do we say about that? You know,
Rodney,
is he a
this
system
is what
guy?
I gotta ask you. This is what I have to ask you as a former NFL quarterback. There's principles and there's foundations to an NFL offense, but this isn't college football where you're. This is what Andrew Whitworth told me. It's not college football where you're spreading it out and throwing gimmick plays. You have to have somebody that is executing the system, whatever that system might be. Even though in the NFL you're doing everything, you're doing a little bit of everything in the NFL, and he's able to execute it at the highest of levels.
Absolutely, and there's changes on the fly. There's changes at the line of scrimmage. There's changes once the ball is snapped. It's all different types of things. And four of the five touchdown throws were incredible throws where you have to fit it into a tight, tight window. I mean, the throw to Cooks, the throw to Robert Woods, even the throw to Todd Gurley down the seam, he had to fit that behind Anthony Barr right behind his ear. And then the corner touchdown to Cooper Kupp. Other than the wide open one, all those throws were not something that just a system quarterback or you can just throw anybody in there and they make that throw. He is a special player throwing the football. His movement, everything about him right now is special.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And even on that long touchdown pass, Jarrett, to Cooper Kupp, the 70-yarder, it just shows that was a play that they put in this week, in between the Chargers game and last night's game. And they were tweaking it and reworking it, trying to get what they wanted out of that play. And that's the reason why Jared went and chest bumped Sean McVay, almost put him in the hospital as a result. But it was because they got exactly what they wanted out of that play from the look from the defense, from the matchup of getting Cooper Kupp on Anthony Barr, the design, the execution, everything went exactly as planned. It's rare that happens. All of the Rams are making the rare look normal these days. But to get that look, to get everything working perfectly, it just shows the teamwork that Goff has with his wide receivers and McVay has with his offense. And there was nobody, everyone was the happiest for Sean McVay because of the work he put in, just putting in that one play, but it worked to perfection.
Yeah.
And Vinny, Minnesota did a pretty good job of moving the ball around the field. And the Rams offense had to answer back each and every time. Now, the Ram defense did come up, and we talked earlier, Rodney, with some big plays at the end. Donald, a huge sack. But was that simply a function of Marcus Peters is hobbled and Aqib Talib is not playing?
Definitely a little bit of that, probably a lot more than we suspect. But also, that's a really good Vikings offense. Kirk Cousins, there's a reason why he got a guaranteed $90 million or whatever it was. Adam Thielen is a good, great wide receiver. Stephon Diggs is a premier NFL wide receiver. And, when you have, I'm sure you guys can, understand this, and Rodney, you can speak to this, but when you only have a couple of days to prepare, I think that the defenses are maybe a little bit at a disadvantage, especially against two high-powered offenses like that. There's only so much you can game plan for. And I give a lot of credit to the Vikings offense. Now, when it was needed, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, John Franklin Myers, the rookie defensive end, they came through when they needed, got some key sacks at key moments, and that was really kind of the difference in the game. But I do believe that Marcus was not close to 100%. Obviously, they're missing Aqib Talib, and it was just the worst possible game to play against a team like that without those two cornerbacks at 100%.
Without a doubt. And, I know they're, 1-2-1, whatever they are. Minnesota will be there at the end of the day. They're going to be a team that you're going to hear about late December. But going back to the defense, Vinny, and I said this too. I hope my man John Gruden was watching, because that's why you pay Aaron Donald. That's why you keep a guy like that on the team, because in the fourth quarter, when everybody's tired, when he gets a one-on-one matchup, it is not a matchup. It is domination. And we saw that last night when the game's on the line, because it's not always your offense that has to go score. It's your defense sometimes that has to stop somebody and come up with a big play. And the Rams did that last night on defense.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's kind of uncanny how when you have to have it the most, you get it. And supreme players like Aaron Donald and Sue are able to win those one-on-one matchups and make the play that needs to be made. And it wasn't often. And although they did have, they had four sacks yesterday, which matched their entire total for the first three games of the season. So to get it when you absolutely have to have it, is sometimes, again, that's the difference in a football game, and they got it. The Vikings didn't, and it was just a spectacular show. And I agree with you. This is a team I believe that the Rams will probably see at some point this season, and they're going to be a handful when they do.
Vinny, does the rest of the league, do you think the rest of the country now understands how good the Rams are?
Yeah, I think that within NFL circles, there was an appreciation of what Goff did and obviously what McVay did last year. And they're taking it to a whole other level. This offense just keeps being added to. And throughout the offseason, OTAs and training camp, I heard from players, you know, we're putting more stuff in. We're not just perfecting what we did last year. We're going to have some tricks up our sleeve. And you see it on a week-to-week basis, but the 70-yard touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp, they're not resting on their laurels. They're not just going in with the same thing that they did the week before, which was successful. They're coming up with new plays on the fly and just taking this league by storm.
Vinny, enjoy the weekend. I think I'm going to see you Sunday, actually, now that I think about it.
I am, Fred. Looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll have some good news for the Dodgers on Sunday.
That'll be great. Vinny, thanks for today. I'll see you Sunday.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Don't forget, it is free. Oh, by the way, Chicago now leads St. Louis 3-0. They're in the bottom of the fourth. Keep in mind, St. Louis is a game behind the Dodgers in the race for the wild card. Of course, Dodger fans are hoping that things will work out and they'll win the division, but this certainly is not bad news for Dodger fans. The Cubs lead 3-0.
Yes, Chris Bryant just hit a home run to dead at center field. Keep it going, Cubbies.
It's Free Movie Friday. Adam Tickets, the best app to book your movie tickets, wants to hook you up with passes to see Smallfoot in theaters today. You're ready for this must-see animated comedy? Text ACTION to ATOM1, that is 28661, for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply. And don't forget Monday, Petros and Money will be at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House in West Covina. They'll be there from 2 to 6. Be at 3 of our 17 BJ shows. We do them all during football season. Rodney, myself, or at some, Petros and Matter at the others. It's their turn on Monday in West Covina. If you attend 3, you will register to win the golden ticket. Now, the golden ticket,
break it down, Fred,
is the greatest ticket.
Tell me about it, Fred.
$500 cash card.
Give me some more.
$500 gift card to berriestickets.com.
What else you got?
I've got Dodgers opening day tickets for next season.
Come on, that ain't all, Fred.
I've got Chargers Ravens tickets for this year.
Ooh, gotta be some more.
Got a Westinghouse 50-inch TV.
Did you say 50-inch? I need some more of that.
Well, you need this. You need Kings tickets.
What? Not the Kings?
The Kings and Clipper tickets.
Clippers. I love it.
That's the golden ticket. BJ's Restaurant and Brew House in West Covina, Monday from 2 to 6.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Real or Fake, brought to you by our dear friend, The Real Deal. Personal injury attorney, Joseph S. Narmond, 866-777-0677. Remember, if anything bad happens to you, it becomes personal for Joseph. You give him a call. Medical, hospital bills. Joseph is the man to deal with it. 866-777-0677. Back in a return appearance to compete against Rodney today. Someone that had the most bizarre appearance in the history of Real or Fake. It's Nancy by the bathroom, or as we like to call her, the can guard. Nancy, welcome back.
Are you kidding me? The what guard?
The can guard. In the bathroom known as the can? You guard the can. You're by the bathroom. You keep an eye on everybody.
Yes, I keep an eye on everybody, including you, Fred.
That's right.
I never lost.
Oh, good.
I never lost.
No, please.
Which one is real? No. Which one is fake?
Yes.
Never
lost.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Oh, which God. One is real? Which one is fake?
I never lost.
Is it real or is it fake?
I think the most troubling aspect of your last appearance is when you started barking like a dog. Do you remember that?
No, I do not.
You do not remember?
No, and I don't plan on you playing it again either. I'll trust what you have to say.
Did you call her the can monitor?
She's the can monitor. She's queen of the can. She's Nancy by the bathroom. Let's begin. Dodgers' Kike Hernandez collaborates. There it was.
Arf!
There it was. Dodgers' Kike Hernandez collaborates with rapper YG for new walk-up song. Dodger center fielder Kike Hernandez has a new tune to walk out to, thanks to rapper YG. In a YouTube video, Hernandez told the Compton-based Raptor he wanted a song that would bump those speakers in the stadium. They recorded a song called Turn It Up. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, man. My man YG is all over L.A. He's with the SC games. He's at the Rams game. You saw Robert Woods caught a touchdown last night. He went right to YG, gave him some dap. I believe that. Kiki wants in that. Kiki, of all people on that team, would go to YG and say, let's get something that would get the people hyped. I believe that's real.
You're saying it's real. Nancy.
You know, I'm not supposed to agree, but I'm going to say in this instance...
Why are you not supposed to agree?
Because they remember from last week, they told us, you two are not supposed to agree.
Well, you go with what you feel in your heart.
I feel it's real.
You're feeling it?
I'm feeling it.
Yes, it's real, Nancy.
Yes, it's real, Rodney.
You know what we like to say about Nancy? She's all real.
Arf!
Joel Embiid sends controversial message on Twitter about the possible Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmation. Sixer star center has never been shy when it comes to tweeting about politics. He sent the following tweet overnight. SMH at those old white people that are actually thinking about putting this guy on the Supreme Court. What is this world coming to? Facepalm emoji. Nancy, is that real or fake?
I don't know, but my gut tells me...
Yeah?
It's Arf! Fake. Arf!
You're saying Arf! It's fake.
I did.
You're barking the fake sound. Rodney, what do you think?
Wow. Like you said, Joel Embiid is not shy about engaging in controversial subjects, including politics.
Arf!
I've seen other people, you know, go Arf! Off on this subject as we're dealing with it right now. I'm going to go real. I'm going to say he said it. I'm going to say he tweeted it. I'm going to say he did it. Absolutely.
You're saying it's real.
I'm thinking it's real.
You are really wrong.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Yes! Never lost!
Nancy, let me ask you a question, given that we have the bark sound.
Why? I mean, really, come on.
Why? I'm going to ask you a question.
Arf!
Because this might happen to you. You're walking down the street. You're minding your own business. You're having a nice day. You're enjoying the Southern California sun. All of a sudden, from across the street, someone has their dog on a leash. The dog breaks free, runs across the street, and bites you right in the leg. Is that your fault?
Absolutely not.
Unless you had raw meat taped to you. And you usually don't walk around like that.
Arf! How would you know?
I don't know. Well, I don't see any raw meat on you.
Do you?
No.
Well, you would need a personal injury attorney if you were bitten by someone else's animal.
Who are you going to call, Fred?
Joseph S. Norman.
Arf!
866-777-0677. Kobe Bryant stops to check on driver after car accident. Retired L.A. Laker Kobe Bryant was thrust into a different role on Thursday. He was the Good Samaritan checking on a car involved in an accident in Newport Beach. TMZ Sports reports that Bryant came upon an accident involving a Tesla. Bryant stopped but quickly found out that nobody had suffered any serious injuries. He also took pictures of the accident after the driver said that his phone was damaged. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Good Samaritan Kobe Bryant. Yes. I'm going real, Nancy. Real.
What do you think, Nancy?
I also agree. I think it's real, Rodney. I think it's real.
Why, Jason?
Why, Jason?
Never lost.
Because she's leading today.
Arf! Rodney.
She's leading by one.
Nancy, is it because it's Friday that you're unusually weird today?
Arf!
Wacky?
I didn't think I was weird until I walked in here.
You're a little wacky today.
No, I'm not.
Wacky Nancy.
Okay.
Rams. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Rams Jared Goff responds to fantasy owner on Instagram. Jared Goff posted a picture of the Rams offense celebrating last night with the caption, out of Seattle. Instagram Ted the Trash Man replied to the caption, I did not have you in my starting lineup. Sucks for me. Goff responded to Ted with, yeah, it sucks for you. I should be starting every week. Hashtag go Rams. Nancy, is that real or fake?
Well, seeing he is starting every week, and everybody knows that he's starting every week, I would say it's fake.
Going fake. Rodney.
Yeah, doesn't feel like it's in Jared Goff's nature to respond to that like that, so I'm going to go fake.
You're going fake?
Yeah.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
All right. You're down.
Never lost.
Yeah, we know. Rodney, you're down one.
Oh, Lord.
With two to go.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Kanye got grief on social media for wearing MAGA hat with Kaepernick's sweatshirt. Kanye West moves to the beat of his own drum when it comes to music and fashion. Kanye was spotted at the Fader magazine headquarters wearing a Trump MAGA hat while also rocking a Kaepernick sweatshirt. Kanye defended his gear, saying that he put his own spin on the hat and also put positive energy into the hat. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Arf!
Unfortunately, you could say anything about Kanye, it could probably be real. I'm gonna go real.
You're saying real?
Yeah, I'm gonna go real on this one.
All right, Nancy, now you've got the lead, so this is big.
This is really big, and yes. I say it's real.
You're saying real.
I am.
You don't want to reconsider?
No, I do not.
Well, you're wise.
Never lost.
Nancy, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let's say you were standing out in the corner, you were wearing a hat just like that.
Okay.
Somebody said, hey, look over here. I want to admire your hat.
Okay.
You turn your head, and a car runs you over.
Arf! Wow, that'd be great, right?
Is that your fault?
No, it's not.
No, if you get into a personal injury situation...
Who are you going to call, Fred?
Who are you going to call, Fred? Arf!
Joseph S. Narmont.
Jason, stop it!
Personal injury attorney, Joseph S. Narmont. Car accident? Slip and fall? Dog bites you? Nancy?
Arf!
Any of them could happen to you. We hope they don't, because we don't want a bad thing to happen to a good person that occasionally barks. But if it does, call Joseph S. Narmont.
Arf!
866-777-0677. Here's the deal. This is it.
This is it, but I have a question. You said I was goofy. What's wrong with Jason today, right?
Right. I'm with you, Nancy. Jason is off his rocker.
Kevin's one who plays the sounds.
Right. I mean, seriously, we've been barking all day.
Barking up the wrong tree here, Nancy.
Okay.
Arf! And you're still doing it, Nancy.
No, I just did it then, just to irritate him. Okay, next, Fred, let's go.
By the way, you get this right, you win.
Okay.
You could upset Rodney today.
Because he's never won.
Yes, I did. No, I won last week.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, it's on tape.
Whatever.
Former Cowboy.
Sore loser that he is. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that was just kind of an eruption.
Yeah, Nancy.
A vocal eruption, Nancy.
Slow down. Slow your roll.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. She's in a very pensive position, Rodney.
I see.
Okay. She's leaning forward.
Nancy.
Rodney.
Former Cowboy star Tony Romo seen practicing with Canadian Football League team Montreal Alouettes. Sources report Tony Romo was seen practicing with CFL powerhouse Montreal this week. Romo has made it clear in recent months that he is not closing the door on playing again. Nancy. For the win! Is that real or fake?
Tony Romo.
Yes.
What is he, about 37 years old, Canadian football.
Right.
Brady's 40.
Well, but he didn't retire.
Breeze is 39.
They're both still playing. This guy decided to retire and go in a booth.
He did retire.
Retire. Oh. All right, I'll say it's real.
All right, you're saying it's real.
I am.
Very good. Rodney.
I've only got one chance to tie, which is I have to go the opposite, right? Is that what we're saying, Fred?
Well, that's the only way to
that's
play.
The only
if
way
you
to
want
play.
To tie.
I play to win. And so, in this case, I can only lose.
You can either lose or tie.
I'll say, okay, so I'm going fake against you, Nancy. It's fake. No way. Roma's got a good gig at CBS.
So, Nancy, by your own volition, Rodney could either lose or
tie.
Which means you could only win or
tie.
Well, you tied.
It's all fake news. It's phony
Come
stuff.
Come on, Nancy.
Never lost. Canada, Alouettes.
leave the booth.
Never lost.
You said it yourself. He retired.
But how many retire and always want to come back?
To Canada.
Why not? If they're going to pay, he may want to play.
He just walked in.
Nice job, Cheyenne.
Thank you.
That was good. Well, Nancy, blame Cheyenne. He came up with that, and you missed, so you tied.
Way to go, Nancy.
You don't win.
No, not again.
What he said?
No.
I'm not winning again.
All right. But yeah. Now, because of that, we can't play your never lost. We won't do it now. We'll play Rodney's.
We'll play never win.
Nancy! You're cruel today. My day of revengefulness shall come again.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Nancy, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye, Nancy.
You've been in an accident. The medical and hospital bills, lost wages, pain and suffering. Personal injury attorney Joseph S. Narmont and his team are who I trust to get you the maximum compensation possible. He's not one of those volume lawyers that takes anything and everything and settles all cheap. He is shrewd. He is selective. If Joseph takes your case, he believes in it. It becomes personal. He won't stop short of getting you top dollar. He has settled recent cases for millions of dollars, and he wants to help you out. Don't surrender to the command of the insurance companies. Joseph S. Narmont, respected amongst insurance companies. His letterhead commands their respect. He's a grand slam. He hits home runs. His clients love him because he earns them millions of dollars. Give him a call. If anything bad happens to you, give him a call. 866-777-0677. 866-777-0677. The law offices of Joseph S. Narmont. Chargers, try to get back in the win column this weekend. They've got San Francisco, who's looking for a quarterback. Their star receiver will join us. Not the 49ers, the Chargers. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports.
I like that, Fred.
Do you?
Yeah. I like completing people.
You've always been that way. You live to give.
I do. I'm a giver, Fred. That's what I do.
I know. I know. That's why it's great being here with you every day.
Hey, Fred.
Yes.
Are the Chargers going to give it to the Niners?
Well, I'll tell you, they better. I mean, the Niners have no quarterback, which is good news.
Yep.
And the Chargers really need a win. Let's bring on a guy who's made a great impact this year, wide receiver Mike Williams. Mike, thanks for jumping on.
Appreciate y'all for having me on.
Hey, I know that you guys are 1-2, but I would just like to start by saying, man, you look good. I mean, you really look good. How are you feeling out there?
Oh, I'm feeling good. You know, just playing with a lot of confidence, playing fast, physical, and, you know, just attacking every day to be the best Mike Williams can be every day. That's the main thing. I want to be a great receiver in this league, so I got to attack every day. I guess the last day I'm going to step on the field and get better every day.
Well, having a year under your belt now and getting a feel for the NFL a little bit last year, how do you feel just having that kind of experience going into this season? Because in three games, man, you are that dominant guy like you were in college.
Oh, yeah, it feels good. I mean, last year, you know, getting the chance to go out there and run around a little bit. I mean, coming out this year, I know what to expect. You know, I know the things, what to expect, what kind of defense, where Phillip want me to be. Where I need to be on the field. So, I mean, I just feel a lot more confidence. You know, it's night and day from last year to this year. I'm playing with a lot of confidence this year, and, you know, it's showing on tape.
And talk about Phillip in your relationship with him. How much do you guys, you know, conversate on the field and then in between series, things like that? Are you guys constantly communicating with each other?
Oh, yeah, we communicate. I mean, as a receiver, I feel like you should communicate with your quarterback. Make sure you where he needs you to be, or, you know, make a little adjustment, like put the ball here, put the ball there, or, hey, Mike, I need you right here. So it's always good just to have a communication with your quarterback. You know, it make the job a lot easier for both of us.
All right, Mike, now be honest, because we've had Phillip on several times, and you know, he's an interesting guy, very competitive guy, but he doesn't cuss. So when he gives you that oh shucks kind of thing, you got to tell me, man, you got to laugh at that, right? You got to crack up.
Yeah, it's funny, but you know he's serious at the same time because he don't want to curse. So you like, all right, it's a serious moment right here. I can't really show him that I'm laughing. You know, he's kind of laugh inside because that's when he really get mad, when he replaces all his words, you know, with something else. That's when you know he's serious.
Charger wide receiver Mike Williams with us, AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Mike, your size and strength are creating many problems now for cornerbacks and safeties around the league. How are you feeling running down the field? Do you have a mindset that, you know what, if that ball's anywhere near me, I've got it. They can't take it from me?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the mindset I had since I always been playing this game. I feel like the ball in the air, you know, I got to find a way to make the play. I mean, the quarterback giving me an opportunity, he believed in me to go up and make the play. So, I mean, I just got to make the play. That's the main thing that's going through my head, you know. Put myself in the right situation to go up and make this play. That's the main thing.
Rodney, when you were playing quarterback, did you have a guy like Mike Williams?
At one point I did. I had Herman Moore in Detroit when I played, who was 6'4" and a basketball player, could jump out of the gym, and he made me look good. I mean, Mike will tell you, and I'm sure Philip will tell anybody, you know, you don't have to always be accurate when you got a guy like Mike going to get it for you, and it makes my life and the quarterback's life so much easier. Hey, also, Mike, you know, Keenan Allen on the other side, you know, I know this as a quarterback when I played. I always loved to have both guys that could be dominant. And because when you have that, you couldn't double one guy. How is it playing on the other side of him?
Oh, it's good. You know, it's a lot of times in the field where he get doubles and that open up opportunities for me. And so I just got to make the plays. You know, we all open up plays for each other. You know, we have a lot of receivers who great in our room, and we all versatile, so we all, you know, play off each other. You know, we all do different things. We have the size, the speed, the guys who can run routes, so we all just, you know, put it all in one offense, and we just go out there and have fun. That's the main thing.
What's the mood in the locker room now? You guys start the way you do, and you're still very much alive. I mean, you've played only 3 games. But what is the mood? What's the attitude with the team?
Oh, I mean, win the next game. That's the main thing. The game that we just lost is behind us. Focus on the thing that's in front of us. We can't change what's in the past. We only can handle what's in front of us. So just focus on what's in front of us, and that's playing this game against the 49ers Sunday and make sure we come out victorious. Prepare the rest of this week. Come out. Have some fun.
Hey, Mike, the big news coming out aside from the NFL is your college, your former school, and Kelly Bryant deciding to transfer after they make the switch at quarterback. I believe you were on the team with him at one point. You know him. And what's your thoughts on that whole situation?
Well, I don't really know all the details. I just know that he wasn't going to start Saturday and decided to transfer. I mean, he's a senior quarterback. Feel like he should be out there leading his team. I feel like he's capable of going out there and doing that. I mean, last year he led his team to the playoffs, lost to the team that won it. So, I mean, I feel like he should have been the starter the whole season. I mean, senior, earned the job, earned the right to go out there and lead the team. So, I mean, yeah. Right now he's just making the decision that's best for him. That's finding somewhere else to go showcase his talent. So, I mean, best of luck to Kelly. I know he'll get the job done.
All right, before we let you go, you've got the 49ers. You mentioned that. When you look at their defense, what do you see and how do you attack it?
Oh, they have the similar defense as us, the Chargers. I mean, we see it every day in practice, so we kind of know, you know, what play is going to work or whatever. You know, they have a few guys down in the secondary. You know, Sherman is down. I know the safeties was banged up. So, I mean, we just got to, you know, go out there and have fun. You know, attack them, go out there, make the plays, and, you know, make sure we just do our job.
All right, well, listen. Good luck on Sunday. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes and spending it with us today.
All right. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Appreciate you, Mike. Mike Williams, Chargers wide receiver. The Chargers host the 49ers Sunday. Listen to the game on our sister station, KFI AM 640. The pregame starts at 11:30. All right. We'll turn our attention to the Dodgers. And there is a game going on right now that may have some impact on them. The Cubs and Cardinals are playing. St. Louis is suddenly on the scoreboard. We'll update you. And then set the scene for tonight's contest in San Francisco. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Do not forget, this half hour, we want to put a grand in your hand, $1,000. Keep listening and wait for the cue to text, and you may win $1,000. Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Fred, one NFL quarterback is a gigantic party pooper.
Uh-oh. Who might that be,
Kevin? Not a former quarterback.
No, not a former quarterback.
Oh,
no, no.
Good.
Not
good.
A former quarterback.
Make sure
that
wasn't referring to you.
Yeah, that hosts a show here. No.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, good.
Rodney gets the party started. It's the exact opposite.
You damn right.
Yeah.
Rodney always walks around the hallway screaming, "Man, this club can't handle me up in here." That's where it's getting, huh?
That's terrible, Jason.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Okay, anyway, that'll be coming up at 1:30. So, the Dodgers tonight in San Francisco, they've got three games left. They start the night a game behind Colorado. So now let's just try to break it down. If the Dodgers were to sweep and Colorado were to lose two, the Dodgers would win the division. If the Dodgers sweep and Colorado sweeps, Colorado wins the division.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So basically what you need is the Dodgers to sweep, period. But everybody's saying, best case, it's 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3. And the Rockies lose 2 out of 3.
Okay, if that happens, then they're tied.
Yes.
And there'll be a playoff game on Monday.
Right.
Madison Bumgarner goes tonight for San Francisco.
What,
no?
What, Jason?
So you're saying if the Dodgers win 2 out of 3 and the Cubs lose 2 out of 3.
No, Colorado.
Colorado, Rockies.
Oh, the Rockies.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Were you not listening?
Madison Bumgarner goes tonight for San Francisco, and he wanted this start. He asked Bruce Bochy, "Hey, push me back a day. I want the Dodgers." So you know what's on his mind. He just wants to ruin it for him.
Hey, let me ask you this: Is this? I've been thinking about this when this was coming up. This has kind of been like a collision course, right? That the Dodgers were going to have to play the Giants. We saw this coming a month ago. Going, "Oh, it's going to come down to this series at the end of the year to see if they can go to win the division or get in the playoffs." Do you think this helps the Dodgers or hurts the Dodgers? Because I have a little bit of a theory that I'm starting to feel right now that it's a good thing that they're playing the Giants because it's a rival team. They know they have to have their energy up. They know they have to play hard. They're not going back to play Cincinnati, which they lost to back there, or they're playing the Marlins where they get snuck up on and the Marlins will beat them. They know that the Giants are coming to play, so the Dodgers have to come to play.
Now, I will subscribe to that, but I'll toss this in. Two things. First, the Giants have not had a good year. Can we all agree to that?
Correct.
Okay. What does that mean when you're playing a team, if you're the Dodgers, that is not having a good year?
But against the Dodgers are up, I think, 9-7, 9-7 in the series this year, right?
Giants are up 9-7.
Oh, Giants are up 9-7. So there you go, Fred. It doesn't matter what the records are.
Okay, well, I understand that, but here's the problem. When the Dodgers play a Cincinnati, when the Dodgers play a Miami, when the Dodgers play a Mets, teams they're supposed to beat, they don't beat them. That's the first thing. Now, here's the other side of the coin. The Dodgers have struggled against really good pitching. Do we agree that Madison Bumgarner is a pretty good pitcher?
I'd say so.
Okay, well, you know, there's the other side of it. I would love to subscribe to your theory.
But Robbie Ray's a good pitcher, right?
Robbie Ray's a good pitcher.
They just beat him up the other night.
And then they faced two guys that, you know, well, they faced one guy that, you know.
Who they beat up before. I mean, they've got after Greinke before.
No, but the guy, Cook.
Yeah, they should have beat him.
They should have beat Cook.
Yeah.
So,
but they beat Robbie Ray, who's had their number since he's been in a Diamondback uniform. He's had the Dodgers number. And in a game that they needed to have, they actually beat him. So it's not out of the realm that they can go after Bumgarner.
So what you're saying, basically, is that is the Dodgers season. Whatever you think can happen doesn't, and what you don't think can happen will. It's been wildly inconsistent. They've been up, they've been down, and now it all comes down to these three games. By the way, in the wild card hunt, if the Dodgers were not to win the division, then they have to qualify for the wild card. They're a game up on St. Louis in the wild card, and currently the Cubs are leading St. Louis by a score of 4-2 in the bottom of the sixth inning, which is good news for the Dodgers. But that being said, Rodney, at this time, the most important time now, who needs to step up? I have a theory. I'll give you two names, and then you can throw a third in if you agree. First, it's got to be Manny Machado. Manny Machado was acquired at the trade deadline. This is the guy. This is the man. He's got to step up. That doesn't mean he has to pitch, hit, and score 35 runs, but he's got to make every at-bat count. He has got to step up in an enormous way in this series. The other player I would suggest is Justin Turner, who has stepped up. They will go as Manny and Justin go. So I think he's got to have a big series. Now, you can pick a third guy or agree with me on those two.
I mean, first of all, I do agree with you on those two. I think how the Dodgers go, how those two guys go. I think that certain guys that have started to get hot, the Chris Taylors and Yasmani Grandal, I think Yasmani is an X factor. He's hot right now. He has to continue to stay hot. And I think the life of Puig, I think Puig has got to be a big factor in this series. I really do. I think the tension between him and Bumgarner over the years, I think it's tailor-made for Puig to have a nice series against, or at least a nice game tonight if he's in the lineup. But again, I think it's the mode of the whole team. I mean, there's in a Diamondback series, they had multiple guys come to the plate with runners in scoring position. Even Justin Turner did, Manny Machado did, and not come through in those situations. It's been the MO of the Dodgers all season long, even late in the game. You know, you talk about Manny Machado, he hits a double and nobody out. Right, he's sitting on second base, and you know somebody's got to bring him home. But that was the story of the Dodgers against the Diamondbacks. That's been the story of the Dodgers all season long. They've struggled with runners in scoring position, and you know it's frustrating. But this is who the Dodgers are, and hopefully they can have a series against the Giants like they had against the Cardinals, and really dominate it like they did.
You know, we've had this conversation multiple times throughout the year, but in this series, where every run is so incredibly precious. Do you start moving guys around? Do you start trying to move guys around and knock them in, or are you still swinging for the fences?
No. No, you can't. In terms of bunting, no. But in terms of it's an individual mentality. I think the guys at the plate got to have that mentality that I got to get the runner over. You know, it's not so much, you know, it's just common knowledge. And I think that, you know, you talk to the guys, yeah, my job, I'm trying to move the guy over. Well, a lot of times the swings don't look like that, but that is what they're trying to do. They just not been able to do that, and it's unfortunate. But, yeah, but in terms of them going playing small ball and, we're going to bunt this guy, we're going to bunt the guy in the fifth inning, sixth inning, that's not what the Dodgers do. That's not what the way they're made up, and they're not going to change now.
Look at the pitching rotation for the weekend. So Bumgarner goes tonight for the Giants against Hyunjin Ryu, who has been on fire. So I like Ryu in this game. I like him. Tomorrow, Kershaw goes against Rodriguez. And then Sunday, it'll be Walker Buehler against Andrew Suarez. How do you feel about the rotation?
I'm good with the rotation. You said it. Ryu's been great. I still have a lot of confidence in Buehler. I'll tell you another guy before we go. That definitely needs a step up, and that's Kinley. Kinley's got to come with it. This is last series of the year. Obviously, he's had his ups and downs and his medical and health issues. But the Dodgers are going to go how he closes games out. And if they, you know, have a lead or it's tied or it's close, he's got to be able to go back and be the Kinley that we've seen the last few years.
While everybody is focused on what's going to happen with Colorado, keep in mind it's the Dodgers that must take care of their own business. The Rockies have Washington, but the Dodgers have to take care of their own business and let things play out as they will. When we come back, Alana Rizzo will join us from San Francisco. She'll set the scene for us. And don't forget, we're going to put a grand in somebody's hand, and that's going to happen really soon, so stay with us. Also, Free Movie Friday, Adam Tickets, the best app to book your movie tickets, wants to hook you up with passes to see Smallfoot in theaters today. Ready for this must-see animated comedy? Text ACTION to ATOM1. 28661 for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet, AM570 LA Sports.
Absolutely, Rodney Peet and Fred Rogan. And because we love to give, it's that time. We want to put a grand in your hand.
Now is the time.
Oh, my God.
Grab your phone, win $1,000. Text the keyword cash to 200-200. That's cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard message and data rates apply.
Good luck.
So if you text and then your phone rings, block number, unknown number, answer your phone. Even if you don't know who it is, if you text, answer your phone because that's the only way we can put a grand in your hand. All right, let's continue on, Rodney, with the Dodgers now. We've set the scene. Let's get up to San Francisco and join someone who is with the club each and every day. One of our insiders, Alana Rizzo. Alana, thank you for coming on.
You are welcome. Hello.
Hello. All right. Heading into this series, what do you think the mood of the team is?
I think while they won't say it publicly, I certainly feel that they feel the pressure that is on them. I mean, it used to be, as of the day before yesterday, they really controlled their own fate. They needed to win, and they didn't. And with the Rockies playing yesterday and the Dodgers having the day off, I'm certain that they were at least had their eye on the score of the game. I don't know that they sat around and watched it on a day off in San Francisco, but they were certainly paying attention. And the fact that the Rockies swept the Phillies and have won seven straight, now they're tied. So, I mean, if the Rockies were to win all three games that they have remaining and the Dodgers win all three games that they have remaining, this division is tied. And they would play in a one-game play-in on Monday at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers do have the head-to-head series win over the Rockies, 12 games to seven. So I'm certainly assuming that they're feeling the pressure. You know, if they win out, they still have a shot, and they certainly still have a shot of winning the division. They have a shot of being that second wild card. And they also have, you know, there's also a chance that they miss the playoffs entirely. So there's so many different scenarios going on right now, and I certainly know my head is spinning. It'll be interesting to see how they react tonight against Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, we were talking about it this morning, all the scenarios, and I got a headache already. I think I got a migraine. Right. Alana, aside from probably the obvious everybody, who for the Dodgers really needs to step up today and in this series?
Well, I think you certainly can look at Justin Turner as a guy that gives you the best at-bat that you've seen up and down that lineup. I mean, this is a guy that's going to work a count. I mean, even if he ends up, you know, flying out or ends up striking out or whatever, at least you know that he's making the opposing pitcher work. I mean, I think, of course, you look at Machado, people are certainly looking for more production from him. You know, the bottom of the order, it looks to me like Yasmani Grandal is starting to really get on track. He has drawn a lot of walks in the last three or four games. And to me, being that he's such a streaky hitter, when Yasmani starts to get base on balls, you know he's starting to come around offensively. So hopefully that bodes well for the bottom part of the order. I'm assuming that Yasmani will catch tonight. I'm assuming that he'll catch Rich Hill or Hyunjin Ryu tonight. You know, everybody has to do their part. Again, they're lacking with runners, you know, capitalizing with runners in scoring position. They're not necessarily doing the situational hitting that they need to be doing, you know, moving a guy over. You can't have a leadoff double and not score Manny Machado from second base a couple of nights ago. So everybody has to do their part. And, you know, the pitching has not been the issue. The Dodgers have gotten very solid starting pitching. And apart from the one home run from Maeda, really the bullpen's been pretty good, too, with the hiccups from Maeda and Floro. But by and large, the bullpen and really all of the starting pitching has been pretty good. And I like Hyunjin Ryu since he's come off that disabled list. He's looked incredibly strong.
Alana Rizzo with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. You mentioned Manny Machado. For my money, that's the guy. I mean, that's why he's here now. He's got to make something happen. I think he's really got to step up big, Alana.
I agree with you. I mean, I certainly think that people thought when he was acquired before the non-waiver trade deadline, when the team was in Milwaukee in the middle of July, that he was going to be the savior to this offense. And even though the front office said that that was not his role, it certainly can't land on the arm and the swing of one guy. That's what he was here for, coming over from the Baltimore Orioles and his best offensive season to date in his young career. They're certainly looking for more production from him. You know, I know the Dodgers fans were lamenting that he wasn't running hard out of the box and a couple of different times in which he thought it was a home run, both at Dodger Stadium and at Chase Field, and ended up, you know, with a double instead. I agree with you. And he has been in that cleanup spot the last four games, and Dave Roberts said that he's going to be in that spot for the remainder of the season. So that's obviously a very high production spot, that spot in the order. The guys are getting on base in front of him, and he needs to be able to capitalize. But it's not just Manny Machado, you guys. It's everybody up and down the lineup that needs to do their part.
No, absolutely right. And you know, Alana, you talked about the Dodger fans and their frustration, and we hear it all the time when we talk Dodgers about the ups and downs. And even when things are going good, they love the fact that the Dodgers can play the matchup and they got so much depth. And then now it's not going so good. People say, oh, I hate the matchup game. I hate what they're doing. I hate the way Dave Roberts managed, blah, 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 blah. But this is who the Dodgers are and have been all season long. And we really shouldn't be surprised that one night they go out and score 10 runs and the next night they can't score any runs. It's just who they are this whole season.
I even think back to last season, Lana, when they had the great streak, right? And then they had the September demise. You knew that they were going to at some point get it turned back around because that's who they were all season. And I think the same thing can be said for this season. Do you agree?
I think that this is a season in which we have not gained any sort of traction. The Dodgers have not had any sort of really long extended winning streaks. I think the longest winning streak they had was six all season long. And, you know, this is a team that, you're right, it'll live and die by the long ball, not necessarily winning those close games. And you can just look at the run differential to prove that point. And that, you know, the Colorado Rockies have a one-game advantage currently in the division. And the run differential is so crazy in between those two teams. And the Rockies, you know, certainly have a good offense. But I think on paper, you know, and just looking around the clubhouse, the Dodgers, by and large, are a far more talented team, in my opinion, than any team in the National League. But they haven't won the close games. They haven't been able to get any sort of momentum and really sustain that. April and the first half of May could, you know, come back to haunt this team. You know, when you get swept at home by the Reds, you lose two of three on the road to the Reds. You don't play well against the Marlins. You don't play well against the Mets. You give up leads in the, you know, towards the end of the game. You don't score in those one-run games or win those one-run games. All of these things come back to bite you. And you always hear that old cliche that you can't win the pennant in April, but you can certainly lose the pennant in April. And they could very well be completely eliminated from the postseason by a game, you know, and that's why every single game, I know you can't have the intensity for 162, but every single game does matter.
And that's why I always think back to that game in Philadelphia where Kike Hernandez pitched. I'm not saying they would have won in extra innings, but boy, in that situation, when you throw a position player out there and you're still in it, that was a head scratcher.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, that's one example of one game. And yes, I put that one, you know, maybe in the top five games of, wow, this one kind of, you know, could be the reason that this team doesn't go to the postseason. But, you know, Kike was placed in a very unenviable position. And, you know, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different head scratchers of what you were just talking about with, you know, the matchup game and bringing guys in just based on the handedness of the reliever that comes in and not letting guys face both lefties and righties. And, you know, that's the way that the Dodgers want to do it, though. They've played the matchup game really the last couple of weeks, and that's how they'll continue to go throughout this weekend. But make no mistake about it, the Giants have been out of this thing for a long time, but they would love nothing more than to knock the Dodgers out and certainly make sure they don't win the division for the sixth straight year.
Yeah, have they already started the Beat LA chant?
I haven't heard any yet, but I'm sure that AT&T Park will be sold out. And, you know, Madison Bumgarner pushing his start to Friday to today to make sure that, you know, he faces this team instead of pitching against the Padres. So there is certainly no love lost between these two teams. That's what makes it a great rivalry. But the Dodgers certainly have their work cut out for them against the Giants. I do love the starting rotation that the Dodgers have going. I mean, Tenjin Ryu has been tremendous since coming off the disabled list. And, of course, you know, you have Clayton Kershaw and then Walker Buehler, who's just been unbelievable so far in his rookie season.
Dodgers on Deck, Morongo Casino. Dodgers on Deck with Tim Cates starts at 6 tonight. We've got the call of the game right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Alana, hopefully it'll be a fun weekend, so enjoy it up there.
All right, I certainly hope so. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
You too, Alana. There she goes. Alana Rizzo, Dodgers and Giants tonight. What's going on in Chicago? Well, the Cubs are leading the Cards 4-2. They're in the bottom of the seventh, and it's raining now.
Yeah.
It's raining. And keep in mind, the Dodgers start this day one game up on St. Louis in the race for the wild card spot. Don't forget, Monday, be at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in West Covina from 2 to 6. Petros and Money will be there. Attend 3 of our 17 BJ shows. Rodney and I are at half, and Petros and Money the other half. And you'll be registered to win the golden ticket, the ultimate ticket, the greatest ticket on the face of the earth. And the golden ticket includes a $500 cash card.
Break it down, Fred.
$500 gift card to Barry's Tickets.com.
Go get them, Fred.
50-inch Westinghouse TV.
Say some more, Fred.
Dodgers opening day tickets.
What else you got, Fred?
I got Chargers-Ravens tickets.
Yeah.
I got Kings tickets.
Come on now.
Yeah. And I've got those very desirable Clipper tickets.
A feeling you, Fred.
That's right. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, Monday from 2 to 6. Be there to see Petros and Money.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Our hearts go out to the O'Neal family as baby Shaq, Sharif O'Neal, will undergo heart surgery. He was an incoming freshman to UCLA, the son of Shaq and Shawnee, four-star recruit at a crossroads. He told TMZ Sports during team workouts this summer that he felt funny. UCLA doctors, and they are fabulous. They made him wear a heart monitor so he could push a button whenever he wanted to alert them if he felt uncomfortable during workouts. He pressed the button during one of the summer practices. Doctors later discovered the heart ailment. So he'll miss this upcoming season. He'll have the heart surgery. He'll heal. He'll recover. And we are praying for Sharif and the beautiful O'Neal family that Sharif comes back next year for UCLA. He has a great attitude. He says, I'm a little down. I feel like I was at my peak of basketball going into my freshman year, coming out of the state championship of high school. I felt like I was at the top of my game right now, just trying to get better, getting stronger. But then this happened. I'm just doing my best to focus on my health right now. Well, Sharif, we're all behind you. Heal quickly, and you'll be on that court real soon, my brother.
You know, the best news about this, and you say, how could there be good news? The good news is they found it.
Yes.
The good news is they caught it. And the good news is they can correct it. The only thing, you know, it is, Rodney, we can both speak to this. It is every parent's nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because, you know he's going to come out of this and go, I'm ready to go. We did the surgery. Let's go back to playing basketball. This is what I dreamed of. This is what I want to do. And as a parent, you're scared because you don't know. The unknown is hitting you as a parent. And you wear it more than the kids do. And you're more nervous than the kids. You know, we all know this. When you're, when I'm watching my kids, I'm more nervous watching them play or do certain things than I ever was when I played myself. So it's a scary thing. And so hopefully everything turns out all right and he's good to go and can revitalize his career at UCLA and go on and do bigger and better things. But we our thoughts and prayers are with him.
All right, guys, good call or bad call for the T-Wolves to have an extremely high asking price for Jimmy Butler. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that things have been really slow when it comes to the Jimmy Butler trade talks with Minnesota because they've been asking for a ridiculous return, including Ben Simmons from the Philadelphia 76ers, which I'm sure they hung up the phone and laughed at them when they asked for that. Now, if the T-Wolves wait too long, of course, right before the All-Star break, you're not going to get as big of a return because, obviously, it's going to be up against the gun than you do now. So is it a good call or a bad call for the T-Wolves to have a very high asking price for Jimmy Butler at this moment, Fred?
At this moment, it's a good call. Why not? Go for what you can get right now. Now, if time progresses, you're going to have to reduce your asking offer. But now they really have nothing to lose. Butler doesn't want to be there. He's made it clear he wants out. All right, Andy up. Whoever wants him, you can have him, but this is what it costs. Now, like I said, let's go 2 months down the road. The asking price is going to be considerably less.
What do you say, Rod?
Yeah, it's a good call. Jimmy Butler, top 10, top 15 player in the league, right? You know, all-star multiple times. You got to get as much as you can for him. But you can't be outrageous. But you never know. Somebody may bite. But to go out and you starting to bar high, you want Ben Simmons? What are they next? They're going to come to the Lakers, say, we'll take LeBron and Brandon Ingram? I mean, what are they doing? But you got to be realistic. But it's a good call. You got to start high. But they're going to have to come down at some point.
Vic.
That's a good call. You're losing a four-time All-Star, one of the best two-way players in the league, and Jimmy Butler. The Butler can do it, Joe. But again, they have no leverage because they know Butler wants out. Now he wants Miami. He wanted the Clippers. He wanted the Nets. He wanted the Knicks. So he's vacillating. The team, obviously, their management is in flux because the owner wants to get rid of him. And, Tibbs says, I can save him. I can coach him. So you got management and ownership split in Minnesota. So the whole Jimmy Butler thing, it's a mess. But you can get him at a good price.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for Ben Roethlisberger to ban music from the Steelers locker room. Now, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger apparently not a fan of people blaring their music during business hours, quote-unquote, in the Steelers locker room. He says that's one of the reasons why they invented headphones so you can listen to your own music. If you want to listen to music, that's not a problem. I just don't want to have to hear everybody else's music in here. Is it a good call or a bad call for old man Ben Roethlisberger not to want to hear that loud rap music in his locker room during business hours? Rodney.
Oh, man. More trouble out of Pittsburgh. This is a bad call. I'm going to tell you that. I get it. You know, you don't want to hear everybody's different music. And it used to happen in our locker room. There would be fights. And it was solved by one day was rock and roll day. The next day was hip hop day. The next day was country music. And so you got to be a little bit flexible. But to try to ban it, that just becomes a bad thing. And why is it now? Ben's in his, what, 58th year in the league? What happened to the first 10 years in his league? He didn't mind it then, but now he's an older guy. Now he's, you know, got kids and everything. He wants to ban the music in the locker room. It's more disarray in the locker room in Pittsburgh. It's just a bad deal.
What do you say, Fred?
Rodney, when you played, what were the size of headphones? Did people even have them back then? I'm being honest.
No, because we played with leather helmets too, Fred. So I don't know.
No
headphones or nothing like that.
No, here's
what the world are you talking about?
Everybody just had a giant boombox like Radio Raheem. That's exactly what it was.
No, here's what I'm saying. If Ben Roethlisberger,
headphones weren't invented back then, Fred.
Look, I used to
my last year was 2005. Yeah, there was no headphones then.
Oh, I used to ride a dinosaur to school, so I don't know. Anyway, I'm saying this. If Ben Roethlisberger doesn't want to hear somebody else's music, then he can wear headphones. He can listen to his own music. I don't understand what the issue is. In other words, everybody else should wear them, but not you? Well, you can put them on, and then you don't have to worry about it. Listen to your own thing.
What do you say, Vic?
A bad call by Big Ben Roethlisberger. As a leader of the ball club, you should take control, and you should work within the flow. The leader will take cues from his teammates. If there's some hip-hop he's not into Migos, he doesn't want to hear Migos, then big deal, leave the room. But don't start banning music. You can't start banning music. You're banning the spirit of the squad. Yeah. The spirit moves them. The spirit moves you.
Talk to him, Vic.
The spirit must move you, Big Ben. But
it's not moving him much this year.
I'm surprised all this mishigas in Pittsburgh. Used to be one of the most stable ball clubs in the NFL. Now, all this crazy tumult out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's going to start banning the pregame music on the field?
Probably.
It's crazy. In the world.
Come on.
Good call or bad call for Patrick Mahomes to turn down endorsements. Now, of course, Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, gotten off to a humongous start with the Chiefs. No interceptions, 13 touchdown passes, I believe, so far these first few weeks of the season. And his agent, Lee Steinberg, did an interview with TMZ earlier this week and says they've turned down any and all endorsement deals and they're going to handle it in the offseason. He said, "We're being very careful to allow this season to proceed without his face on every billboard." You can argue, maybe you want to strike while the iron is hot. You don't know how this season is going to end. Well, those endorsements that are here now are going to be available to you when the offseason rolls around. Is it a good call or a bad call for Pat Mahomes to turn down endorsements right now and wait until the offseason, Fred?
I like it. I think it's a good call. I like that he wants to focus on football. I like that he wants to focus on what's happening on the field and not be distracted or all of a sudden, and obviously he's going to lose money in this regard, but he's gambling and betting on himself. I like it. I like a guy that says, this is my job and this is what I do right now. If it continues this way, then I'll worry about the rest later. I think it's a good call.
What do you say, Rod?
Bad call. We are in the entertainment business. If Nike calls and says, hey, we want to give you, $10 million deal, you're going to turn that down? You wear the Nike shoes anyway. If you sign an endorsement deal, you can control when you're available, what's going to happen in the deal. It can all still happen in the offseason. But they want you now. You are hot now. They go 1-5 the next 6 weeks. He's not going to be so hot. That deal that was on the table right now may not be there. You got to strike when the iron's hot. He may get hurt. You never know what's going to happen. People are calling right now. You got to take advantage of it. You never know. Your future is not guaranteed to you.
What do you say, Vic?
Good call. The sage counsel of Lee Steinberg, who has managed the careers of multi-million dollar quarterbacks over the past two decades in the NFL. He's going to give you sensational counsel. And this goes against the grain. Yes, Nike or Under Armour or someone, could be offering Mahomes a giant contract. He says, I want to focus on this season. I got 13 touchdowns. I am the hottest quarterback in the league with Jay Goff. I am going to focus in on the Chiefs' offense and not get distracted, you know, by all these, you know, insane off the field offense. I like it. It's refreshing, and I dig it.
All right, guys, good call or bad call for Cole Beasley to criticize Dak Prescott publicly. Now, he didn't say anything explicitly against Dak, but you guys listen to this quote and you tell me if you believe he's actually criticizing the Cowboy quarterback. Quote, "We're just getting open. That's all we can do as receivers. If you watch the tape, that's all you've got to do. A lot of people aren't watching the tape. They're just assuming, and that's fine." Of course, their passing game is one of the worst in the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the season. Have not won a game yet. And outside of Ezekiel Elliott, no one on that offense has made many plays for them this season. Is it a good call or a bad call for Cole Beasley to criticize Dak Prescott and the Cowboys' passing game publicly? Rodney.
Horrible call. What are you doing? What are you doing? Keep all that in-house. You guys watch the tape. Don't get sensitive, because I'm sure, you know, all the reporters are saying, because Dak's getting a lot of criticism, but they're also saying Dak has no weapons. Nobody's getting open for Dak. I'm sure they're hearing it. He's probably frustrated, and he says, if you check the tape, I am open. Come on now. Keep that in-house. Now you've alienated your quarterback, because don't think for a second that doesn't get back to Dak, right? That's a big problem. You never do that. Bad call.
Fred?
Yeah, it's a bad call. Terrible call. Because all of a sudden now you can see that the cracks are becoming larger. And that needs to be handled in-house. And Rodney points out, you watch the tape. You know, you're open. Did you run the right route? Did he miss you? Was there somebody up in his face? It's a bad call. And it just shows that all of a sudden, internally, they're starting to crumble. And at that point, your season's over anyway. So it's not a good call, but that's a Jason Garrett call, Rodney. That's the guy that's got to correct that, the coach.
For sure. What do you say, Vic?
Horrific call. You've planted a nefarious seed with Prescott. He's gonna remember those quotes. If he sees you in the open field, he may not be looking for you, even though you're open. Didn't like your comment. But again, you know, the Cowboys are a mirage. You can't play the New York Giants every weekend. This team is filled with holes. But Prescott has, what is he? The last time he had a good year was, what, 2 years ago?
Rookie year.
Yep.
Yeah. They took away his tight end, took away Dez Bryant. Everybody wants to put it on him.
You got to build him back up. I mean, he's been torn down. You got to build him back up.
Yeah.
Mm. Good stuff. And that is good call, bad call.
All right, Kevin.
Okay, Figuel.
Sure.
Is LeBron James mad at the media? Or is the media mad at LeBron James? That's next. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. Before we go, it's the sports news dump. These are the things that just ended up in the dump we didn't get to. It's Jason's idea. So remember my idea? There.
There it is, that dump.
There's a dump.
Jason likes the dump.
Anyway, before we go, this is in the dump today. LeBron James apparently not pleased with the media, or the report is getting a little testy, sparring with the media. He was asked yesterday, you're wearing number 6 at practice. Why are you wearing number 6? That's not your number.
Speaking of numbers, you're wearing number 6. Is there a particular reason why you're wearing that?
I've worn 6 in practice for a long time. I'm trying to figure out a lot of you guys just not recognizing who I am, huh? I have no idea. I've been doing this for about the last 8 years now.
I don't blame him. You know, it's like LA's got a shiny new toy, and they just want to play with and rub the toy, and they forgot the toy was somewhere else before. It's like asking Michael Jordan, "Hey, Mike, I noticed you're wearing those North Carolina shorts underneath your Bulls shorts. When did you start doing that?" Since I got in the league, where you been?
Yeah,
come in. Seriously, LeBron, you know, how are you going to balance all the off the field, off the court stuff? I mean, you're in L.A., you got this going. I've given out scholarships since I got in the league with kids. I go to boys and girls clubs. I put a lot of kids through school. I have building. I have different projects. I own this. I own that. I own this. What are you talking about?
Well, here's the thing. LeBron is a transcendent personality. He's bigger, obviously, than basketball. And I think what that leads to is you get the mainstream media there as well. You have different people that don't do this on a daily basis. So So they're not really as dialed in or informed as people that do what we do every day.
Okay, let me ask you this. Should they be?
Should they be?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would...
If you were up there asking a question to LeBron, you know, it's not like you're asking a question to the water boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're asking LeBron a question. Should you not be prepared to at least do some homework on it?
Well, you should, but that would be like Channel 4 deciding they were going to send me out to a news conference with the sheriff's department.
Yeah, but you do your homework on the sheriff that you're interviewing. You're like, no, you know, whatever.
No, you know what I mean? You know what I would do? I wouldn't ask any questions. I would just stand there. Listen to everybody
else.
Listen
to what he has said. It's like, Rodney, you're wearing that USC shirt. Is there any reason why you're wearing the USC shirt?
Well, I just like the colors.
Yeah, I like the colors. Yeah, no reason.
I like the letter U.
I would have come back with a smart-ass answer. I would have. It's like, I've been doing this for years. It's like, I remember Deion Sanders. He wore number 2 in practice because that was his college number instead of 21, which he wore in the NFL. And a similar thing. I think he had a similar response. Somebody asked him, why are you wearing number 2 after practice? And he's like, I've been doing this for 10 years. This is what I wore in college at Florida State. Check the tape. Check the tape. So, I mean, I understand, you know, he's in a new city. He probably should, you know, handle a little bit better. But I get the frustration, you know. It's like you don't, you know, do a little homework before you ask me a question.
But do you think back in the back of his mind, I mean, he's so incredibly successful and the best player on the planet. But do you think in the back of his mind he's going, God, I can't believe these people don't really know who I am.
Yeah.
I can't believe they don't know more about me. Do you think somewhere he's going like, huh?
Yeah, I think more of, you know, be prepared when you come up and ask me a question. You know, you can't even imagine the request that he gets. So if you're going to ask one, you get a chance to do it. Be somewhat prepared. And I think that he is all about coming here to play basketball. And I think he's gotten very few basketball questions. It's about, you know, a lot of things like that. Like, you know, what are you doing off the court? Oh, how's your living in L.A.? And all these things. And I think he just wants basketball to start so he can focus on just playing basketball and being a basketball player.
Yeah, to be fair, I think during the offseason, he was very involved in his business offerings. He was.
Yeah.
But now, this is his business.
But he's been doing that for years.
Yes, but I'm saying it's new for the people here. Now, this is his business. Yeah. Now his basketball business begins.
Right. But, I mean, I hear you, but I get the frustration. It's like... It's not like he is some seventh man on the Milwaukee Bucks. He's the best player on the planet. You got to know a little bit. Why are you wearing 6? Why is it? Ask the next guy next to you. Why does he wear number 6 before you ask that question? Hey, Fred, why is he wearing that 6? And you would say, well, he's been wearing that in practice since, you know, he got to Cleveland or since he went to Miami.
You know what I would have said? I have no idea. You should ask him.
And I'd like to know too. Yeah, you ask him.
And you be the one to ask him. Go ahead, ask him. All right, Jason, Kevin, thanks for a great week. Rodney, have a good weekend. Petros and Money next on AM 570 LA Sports.